And my next guest, Julia Langerhan, has brought a rose, a beautiful orange-smelling rose, into the studio. So I'm looking at that right now, and I'm smelling it. And I know that spring is here, and the meaning of rose, although we won't get into that right now. But Julia has been on before, and she's actually back by popular demand. And she is the author of The Haunting of Mission Santa Cruz, Mexico, from 1708 to 1876, Volume 1. She's just completed Volume 2, and she goes into more detail about the Mexican history of Santa Cruz. And this book is more specifically about the Mission Carmela when it was Mexico, governed by the Anzarin. How do you pronounce that?
Yeah, it comes from the word azulín, which means
that's
blue.
Right, blue,
so it's
people.
Anzarin.
Of the Southern Spanish royalists, including the famous Mexican Spanish governor Joe Castro and his heirs. But let's get started here. She told me a bit about Wells Fargo and its roots, in this
in
area.
Santa Cruz.
Yeah, do you want to go into that a bit?
Sure, let's start with Great Aunt Mary Agnes.
Sure.
So one very famous person to the Santa Cruz area was Klaus Spreckels. He was the sugar baron, actually.
Spreckels?
Spreckels sugar. Spreckels.
Yes. Yeah.
He came to possess a part of a very important Spanish land grant called the San Andres land grant that was given by the Southern Spanish royal family to the Castro Moragas. The Castro Moraga come from the root word Charlemagne, and these are very old families that had peace treaties in southern Spain with northern Spanish before the Castilian princes came to power, which is where the Castellanos in the northern
that
Spanish.
That goes way back.
It doesn't go that far in reality if you realize that the last Muslim city of southern Spain to be overthrown was Granada in 1492.
Oh.
So when they overthrew the Muslim city of Granada, we had the flight of most of the southern Spanish monarchs into Mexico, which they already had territorial possessions as Spanish land grants.
Mm-hmm.
So there was no such thing as Spain, per se, but this was Vispania. It was a favorite wife of a Roman emperor who became famous in southern Spanish port of Cadiz, which is a city of Al-Andalusia, which means all where Andaluz, where there is light. And the last city to be sacked and thrown, these people, these monarchs, were deported to Mexico. These people had a lot of wealth in their Spanish land grants, so what they did...
So they were royalists.
They were royal family, and they set about to reinforce their territorial possessions in Mexico after they lost their control of the port of Gibraltar.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a very important mm-hmm. port at one mm-hmm. time. It was controlled, and it's named after a Moor named Jabal Tariq. And this Moor had peace treaties with Theodore the Goth at the same time as the great Martin Luther. These reforms were taking place. He had peace treaties with the family, a royal family of Royal Rodriguez. And these families actually had Spanish land grants here in Santa Cruz.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what I'm trying to set up is that there was an enormous amount of wealth and mm-hmm. exchange because mm-hmm. there was always tributary being sent back to the main caliphate.
Mm-hmm.
So southern Spain had their caliphates in the capital, Córdoba.
Or caliphate.
Caliphate, this is where we actually get the word California. It comes from the word califato, which means a union of enlightened spiritual authorities. And the Umayyads were the first caliphates. They produced 12 caliphs. These are great enlightened thinkers in the line of the Prophet Muhammad. Now, this is 1260 to around 1320. The last southern Spanish city to be sacked in the mid-1300s was Sevilla.
Mm-hmm. Sevilla, yeah.
Now, these famous Spanish families that actually helped the northern Spanish come to power fought under Zayd Rodriguez Diaz, the famous Zid, the champion in battle, who fought with Don Quixote. You know, everybody knows the story, but we don't know it very well.
No, we don't.
What's Don Quixote and El Cid? You know, Cid?
Mm-hmm.
It comes from the word Zayd. And his name was Zayd al-Campitur, which means the champion in battle.
He's a conqueror.
Yeah, the conqueror. He mm-hmm. actually helped the northern Spanish come to power. and the Castellanos. And mm-hmm. this is also where the King Sancho and King Sancha. So in Mexican Spanish, everybody still knows how we use the word Sancho and Sancha. It's still with
us.
Well, it's how we say when we're like cheating on our spouse. We say we have one of those. But these are the treaties. So there was these alignments of marriage, intermarriages between the Rodriguez family, which were the guardians of Guadalajara. You see, this means guardian of God's flask. Guarda, guard. Allah, God's name. Jara. Jara is a
Moorish.
Yeah, it's a flask. It holds something. So jara in Spanish means, I don't know, pan, or it's hard for me to translate. Just a water container, a container, a flask. So the Rodriguez Real family were actually ruling in Guadalajara, Mexico. And these are southern Spanish royalists. And they had peace treaty, had already signed peace treaties with Charlemagne, which is where we get the name Carlos Moraga.
Ah.
And the Moraga family had the Spanish land grant to Santa Cruz. And that's the famous Joaquin Castro Moraga.
So these were land grants. And the only village, per se, you had told me, was Villa Branciforte.
So Villa de Branciforte
surrounded
was
by
the city.
The land grants, the rancheros.
And so the mayor, so actually today's the anniversary, and it's very nice to be honoring the anniversary of the lynchings today. So the book is basically about the land grabs, which are not... The forgery is that there's a huge gold rush where everybody came to make their profit in gold in California.
Mm-hmm.
What really happened is a well-premeditated and well-planned rape of the land, the properties, the women. So Reverend Sassawalo, who traces his roots all the way back to Richard, King Richard of Sewell, this is the origin of the word Wells. Okay, I'm going to try to explain the origin of Wells Fargo here, which were...
I knew we'd get to it.
A conglomerate of families that actually were children of Heinz, which is the ketchup heir who stole the tomatoes, you see. Heinz comes from the German word Hern, and his name was Hern Sassawalo, which became Shewell or Sewell. And he's buried in the Harvey West as a sea well. And his daughter, Ada Bell, came as Wells. And that's the forgery on the Loudon Nelson Center here, the school. That it was a black man. It is a black man. But they were black Moors, and they were Basque, living in Monterey.
Basque.
This is where the family Vasquez comes from, you see. And the Basque are very unique in Spain themselves, speaking something different itself from Spanish.
And they're somewhat oppressed as well.
And they're somewhat oppressed. And their roots go back. I hear they're kind of Celtic roots. So the Basque are in themselves.
You whisper that.
Yeah.
Why?
I don't know fully yet, but I'm coming to discover these families. The Vasquez were the heirs of Monterey. And where the corn grinder is in Monterey, that is an adobe. One of the oldest adobes is Rose Castro. Rosemary Castro, we talked about her before.
Yes.
She was the last wife of Joaquin Moraga. And she went missing in 1838, but she turns up in the convent in Mission Carmel. And this is why Book 2 had to come out, to tie up the loose endings from Volume 1. So in Volume 1, we find Rosemary and her son George's tombstone in Mission Dolores in San Francisco. And it actually marks the location of the Empress of Mexico's bones. Unfortunately, she died in 1832. And Alviso, or San Jose, was the capital of North Mexico. And there was a coup so the Empress went into hiding.
What is Alviso today?
So Alviso is a drowning city north of San Jose that used to be a major port of entry and was the capital of Mexico until 1833. The capital of North Mexico was up here because it had water access. Mm-hmm. There's lumber, timber.
So there's wealth.
Yeah,
that's
there's the wealth.
That's why
this
land
trees,
was so desperately
the fruit,
valued.
The leather, the tanneries, the fields.
Yeah.
Bountiful. Basically, the book is about the reality behind the land grab of the San Andres Spanish land grant 30 years after the Mexican-American War's over. So we're not talking about Mexico losing a war and giving up their land and going home, which you will find on the forgery in San Juan Bautista, specifically talking about Rosemary Castro. She said, oh, well, she finds herself now a Mexican girl in America. What does she decide to learn English or go back to Mexico? You see, this is a forgery because this is Mexico. And the land and language are protected.
Go home. This is home.
You can read that. Actually, it's on what they publish as official history in San Juan Bautista, where you will actually find... Well, what's unfortunate about this space is that there's a cemetery of unmarked graves, and that doesn't have to be. We had the sophistication to put the grave name on who is under there, but mm-hmm. what they did is it held so much information, and it was the Breens from the Donner Party that helped participate and move that cemetery. So they took all the stones.
Well, they saw their end.
Yeah, so it is basically these Bengal boys. We have the root of Wells Fargo. So what we want to talk about is it's very complicated. It's a very complicated history. But Mary Agnes was the wife of Klaus Spreckels. She was a Heinz daughter. Heinz had children with four different very important women.
And he was one of the Bengal boys that murdered many of the
Mexican heirs.
Leaders, mm-hmm. Mexican heirs.
So
leaders.
On this day in 1876...
And the Bengal boys came from the East Coast.
Yeah, they came from Maryland, from Tennessee, from Alabama,
Massachusetts.
The forgery of the Heinz family is that they're the descendants of Mary Scarborough of Maryland with the daughter of the famous colonizer John Sloan. You see, John Sloan is everywhere here, but pay attention. Joan Sloan. Joan's son. You see, it's a Johnson. He broke down these kind of names, and then he inverted them.
You're amazing the way that you are able to break down the names, and you have a background
in linguistics. Yeah, so
you really do know how
about the transition of language and phonemes over
and
time.
And turn things backwards.
Mm-hmm. And
yeah.
We come from a non... we're not actually a linguistic-based culture. The reservation I lived on in New Mexico, they still largely dance their philosophy. And what I was actually came to the university to study was embodied culture, where people are still dancing, where we're not dependent always on the written culture.
Yeah.
So the written culture is what we have today that we put a lot of faith in. And there was this gentleman back in 1876 that had a lot of power to introduce the forgeries that we reference as official Santa Cruz history. And his name is Alfred Frederick Joseph Hearn. Sullivan, you see, Sassuolo. This is where we get the word she-well, which has become the word wells.
Oh.
So the forgery on the Loudon Nelson is that a black woman named Ada Bell Wells and her black family, and that she struggled for black suffrage, and she did. But you know what? She wasn't that black woman they have pictured there. Mm. Ada Bell Wells, which her name should be Shewell, because her father was the Reverend Sassuolo Shewell.
They had no qualms with changing names.
No, they did a lot of changing names. These inversions, they helped kind of disconnect heirs to a lot of money that was stolen. And one of the main persons involved in these robberies and actually introducing forgeries, quote-unquote Civil War forgeries, was the Huggins family, you see, and that was Mary Agnes Huggins.
Mm-hmm.
And she was the wife of Klaus Spreckels, and she actually came to possess the Bayview Hotel, which is in Aptos, the apple orchards, the Mangles Mansion that's in Aptos used to belong to a Castro. And it was her older brother. She was only 13 when the Bengal boys lynched the governor and the mayor here.
Oh.
And there were 10 of them. And you can find them in this book written by Reverend Saxon Stanford or Safford. It's dated 1892. It's one of the oldest books in the UCSC library.
Now, what was it about this area? We've talked about it, but we can just, if you mm-hmm. could talk about that with our listeners. Why did they want Santa Cruz so badly?
What was interesting about the Jones, and you can find their information in the Mormon Battalion files, they were colonizers. Okay, so they had this great idea that they were going to come and colonize Mexico, but they kind of leave out of the Mormon Battalion file that Mexico was San Francisco and Santa Cruz. So William Henry Burt Jones.
Rich.
He was the Grand Master of a Ku Klux Klan, but now we have the Texas Lodge Order of the Masons in San Juan Bautista. And if you go there, right across from the mission...
No names.
Yeah, it says Texas Lodge. And you, what do you mean, Texas Lodge? We're in California. Well, he had a son that was named John Burt Jones. And John Burt Jones married Leona Jones, and Leona Jones is my grandmother.
Oh, boy.
So great Agnes Mary Agnes.
What's cursing through your blood?
Yeah, these things have to work out, you know. The former speakers, you know, gave a very nice talk on how to kind of confront so we could move through these things. And the more that we would push against and avoid them, the harder it's going to be for the next lifetime to work through, right? They said something like that in their guru speak.
Well, you're healing the generations, I suspect.
Well, there was this family here, the Heath family, but it comes from their Hines, actually, the Hines family. But Hines, not a real name, you see. He was an expert in hiding and putting his name on everything. So Hines just means Mr., but his real last name was Shewell. And he had 8 children. And the Heath are also 8 children now. But they have very many different names, you see. Mary Agnes, who was the wife of Klaus Spreckels, she actually has a name on a forgery, which is the Huggins forgery, which is how the actual Porter family got the land and the Wells Fargo came about. Mary Agnes was the first school teacher to Mission Santa Cruz, and she was only 13 years old when her older brothers, the Williamsons, which were, they overlap in with the Heath family, these Williamsons participated in the lynching of the governor and the lynching of the mayor. So the governor was named Joe Castro, and his real name was Juan Jose Chacon Rodriguez. Now, Chacon, his father was a famous man from the 1760s, and his name was also Juan Jose Chacon, and it comes from the word Al Charcon. It means the pooling of water. You see, there's very many water rivers that pool together here. And he was the real founder.
And that's why it's so powerful here.
In Santa Cruz, the forgery of the Chacon name has been forged over to say Lausen. Lausen. And this is also where we have the forgery of Louden Nielsen, Cornelius's son. Hans Cornelius's son. And so we have Hansen
Louden
becoming
Nielsen.
We have Hansen and Lausen overtaking Chacon. And it's a very easy forgery. It has to be similar enough to forge. And his birth certificate, he was born in 1817 in San Juan Bautista. His parents were founders, Franciscan founders. His mother was a Rodriguez of the family Rodriguez Real, and his father was a Chacon Medina Salazar de la Villa Señora. These are long
beautiful
names to say that they're from the mountains of the Holy Mother. You know, and they're talking about mountains in Al-Andalusia, where there is light. The Red City, where there is light. So it's beautiful. It's southern Spain, but see, it's all Spanish Arabic, and it's all over where we reside.
So there's the Moorish influence. Yeah, it is. Right here in Santa Cruz,
that's
if you can
right
read between the lines.
You have
your
to read between the lines.
Background. You know that just instinctively.
It's become part of my training. I wrote dictionaries, which means I'm very good with graphs and family trees. And we used to build databases that could search for different spellings of the same word. So this is kind of, I think, helped me and see, because how I found out the forgery was actually given to me in an antique store by somebody who owned the box of the Wells Fargo. And he pulled out pictures I have of Mary Agnes and her husband, Klaus Spreckels. And this Mary Agnes was actually not only the first school teacher to Santa Cruz, but she got the main piece of the Magnolia Rose, which is a piece of a dismembered mansion that's now moved from Capitola to Santa Cruz, which is the main theme of my book.
Yeah, is that where Castro lived?
The Castros built these mansions. These mansions were stolen from them. And on this date, April 22nd, 1876, Book 2 documents the murder of 14 Castros and immediate heirs to these beautiful mansions. Now, what happened is that they were dismembered and moved around. And the moving, and then there was a fire staged in 1907. There was this great earthquake in 1907 in San Francisco that went down in history of San Francisco burning down.
Gave them their excuse.
It gave them their excuse. And so when the lynchings took place, some of these gentlemen, they were all Heath's children, Hines' children, Huggins' children.
That's why there were so many. They learned how to be murderers.
Yeah, and they followed Papa, and they were loyal. And actually, so Ernest Amesti's real name was Loyal Heath, and his actual name was
Loyal Heath.
Yeah, so there's an overlap.
They make a joke out of it. It's almost a mockery.
Well, and he's Ernest Amesti. That's the real Ernest Amesti. He's one of Williamson's, and he was John Peyton Williamson. And this is the son he had with Matilda Hearn, And Matilda's mother is Rosemary Castro, and Rose Castro went missing in Mission Carmel in 1838. Matilda is born in 1841. Now I'm going to tell you the Hines line. Matilda first is born in 1841. Then his daughter is born from Rose again, and her name is Alice, and she's on the Huggins family tree. Her name is Alicia, but she was Alicia Sullivan. Yeah, you know, pay very close attention to this, is that the first woman he raped was Carmen Pacheco, and her father was a Portuguese man. Mm-hmm. So a lot of the beauty that came out later in some of the Williamsons was not German or Scandinavian, it was Portuguese. His second victim was Rose Castro, who went missing into the Mission Carmel because of a pregnancy, out of wedlock pregnancy in 1838, and then he started raping her. And she's the mother of the Williamsons. And these are John Peyton Williamsons of Lafayette. Two of them were Ku Klux Klan that lynched the governor. Now, Matilda had also this son named Carlos, John Carlos. And his name, John Carlos Lenahan, is on the highest point of Holy City. And his name is on the plaque inside the Santa Cruz High School. And that's wow. Ernest Amesti. He helped put all the San Andres land grant into the hands of his father through an open auction that was held. And he, for $2,000, he took the San Andres land grant of 10,000 acres and put it into the hands of his father, which wow. was Joseph
And his
Hines.
Descendants are doing that today with many of us as people are facing foreclosure and their homes are in auction. It's going back to the banks.
And so the bank is actually where these families... So what happened is that Mary Agnes or Mary Mangles, that's where we get the name Mangles Mansion, which is on the Klaus Mangles Mansion in Aptos. That was Rafaela Castro's mansion. She was killed on this date, too.
And where is that mansion?
It's in Aptos Village. If you just go all the way up the mansion, it'll say Mangles House. And it's in private hands to this day. It's a 7-bedroom mansion. Used to belong to Rafaela Castro, who was the heir of the Castro Moragas in 1838 when her father, Joaquin, died. And her mother was the hiding Empress of Mexico.
Oh, my God!
And they hid her in an orphanage until she was 8 years old. And then she came down the Alviso Slough before Alviso started to sink as the northernmost city in the San Francisco tributary. They brought her to an orphanage called the Mud Flats Refuge. Mm-hmm. And it's still standing to this day. I've been there. And
where is that?
It's in the north of San Jose in the city called Alviso that's about to go underwater. Well, see, what happened is that there were sloughs that brought boats in, steamboats and large boats, but then the culture of lines and straightness, they straightened out all the tributaries, so the city of Alviso went underwater and no longer do boats enter the port of San Jose like in the past.
Oh.
San Jose was a port city. And I have to tell you that water went all the way into these great mansions, even including the Winchester Mansion, which Mary Mangles came also to possess. Through her older brothers, which were the Williamsons that did the lynching,
mm-hmm.
her husband, Klaus Spreckels, who participated in the lynching and came to control the Castro land grant to the Hawaiian Islands, which was where the sugar cane came from.
Spreckels.
And she was the school teacher inside what they call the Winchester Mansion. So there's another forgery right there saying that nobody, you know, that she had no friends, that she was the last heir, that she left no children. Well, actually, Mary Mangles was the school teacher of...
She had many children.
The Bechtel children. And this is the origin of Bechtel. It's an 18...
Bechtel, the mercenaries, the large corporation in San Francisco.
B-E-C-K-E-T-E-L, Bechtel.
And Wells Fargo is also in San Francisco.
So Mary's family line is the Wells, which comes from Shewell. And Mary, as a school teacher in Santa Cruz and also at the Winchester Mansion, which I possess in my their personal property of my own, which Mary Mangles with 38 of her children standing in front of the water tower on the Winchester Mansion.
Good Lord.
Yeah.
and everything there
of
is
these children,
but it's
three
Lord.
Of them, which are her children, and they're also pictured on the main piece of the Magnolia Rose here in Santa Cruz. Those are Willie Bechtel, Jenny Bechtel, and Lulu, which comes from Olita or Lolita Bechtel, which is the famous Lulu Carpenters,
which was at that time. It's now a cafe.
And it was in the past a hall of records that stood in Branciforte, and it was inverted a complete 180 degree the other way. they did this, you see, after the murders, they moved the buildings to create a forgery of a city. So they created the city of Santa Cruz in 1877. There was no city there
it
before.
It was all land owned by
the governor's family, and there was a university there. So the University of California, Santa Cruz, it did not start in the 1960s. It started in even before the 1860s, 100 years before they even say. And the evidence of that, if anybody wants to see, is go look at the old Santa Cruz High School that's to the left of the church up there. The bell tower stood there, and it wasn't a bell tower for a church. It was a class. It announced class times for students attending school.
So this whole area was for advanced learning, and who knows what kind of advanced learning, too. You can only imagine.
And it's closed down now, right? It's very hard to access building.
Yes, it is.
It's the main, and you know,
you
the
can't.
Train track, they blew a hole in the mountain under that holy mountain. So you see, Santa Cruz...
They just desecrated the whole culture.
They desecrated the whole culture.
As if it was never... It ceased to exist.
Well, I wanted to say that the Rodriguez Neri Adobe that's up on Mission Hill in Santa Cruz, that's the recycled bricks inverted 180 degrees around. Also, I'll turn it, I think I'm a little loud.
There.
See if that's better. Yeah. Anyways, a little off track, but let me just tell you about Mary Agnes. Is that her children were her students as well, and her children bear the name Bechtel, and this is an $18 billion company in San Francisco. And Mary, as she was the school teacher, which is written on the back of this card that I own.
We know about Bechtel.
Yeah, we know about Bechtel. All the
providing
no big
the
contracts
soldiers,
in
also
Iraq.
Iraq and much more.
Trying to privatize the water in Bolivia.
The energy, the oil industry there.
So
with their hands and everything.
Her children were, I'm reading from the back of her own handwriting, Jenny Bechtel, Willie Bechtel, and Lulu Bechtel. And she signed herself as Miss Bray Fogel. Her father was a Wells, or a she Wells, and she's a Bray Fogel, and this is where we get the word Wells Fogel, or Wells Fargo. In 1907, they staged the fire of the Great Magnolia Rose, which was this hotel on the Capitola Esplanade. Grandpa Sullivan, you see. He also had another identity as John Thomas Sullivan, and this is Alfred Hines. Hines' children, it's the same man. He created a Bengal Boys unit of 10, and the majority of these 10 are his own children. So Ernest Amesti was one of the Hines children with Matilda, you see.
So you weren't kidding when you said he created a family.
He created a family.
Thieves and murderers.
And then what they called themselves were like breakaway Freemasons. But the more I think about this, is this may
they,
not
they
be representative
not
of the... Well, I'm not sure how much he really represents what was going on in the Freemasonry, because he himself was a breakaway minister, quite in control, and in control of his own family, which did these murders, and then were in place to smear the people afterwards. So the Jones smeared them in the newspapers. The Jones were already working with him, and this is where the black man, Loudon Nelson, comes in. William Henry Burt Jones was a black man. And see, they're not black per se. They're black because of his rape of the Moorish line of the Vasquez from Monterey.
Yes.
And he himself, when he wrote his family tree, because he was raping his own family, you see, he had Alice from his own daughter, and he raped his granddaughters, probably every family line all the way down. So Amos Williamson, he called a Huggins. And Huggins, if you spell it backwards, I hate to say this, but it spells nigga.
Oh.
And he called his own family line with the Moors a Huggins.
Disgusting. Oh, my God.
And it's a forgery. It's a straight forgery, because his name was John Williams. And what he does is he breaks it down and he puts his own self.
It's simple to just turn the word backwards.
Backwards. So instead of John Payton, which was his real name, he became the Petty Johns. And supposedly married the daughter of John Sloan.
They just had fun writing off
well,
this
Well, the person that
tree.
Left this forgery, I have to say, was Mary Agnes. She worked for her father. She was very loyal to her father. She introduced these as Civil War forgeries left in place by the Wells Fargo family to be found to this day.
Were these, you said that the Carpenter Building, which is now Lulu Carpenter's, was a
Hall of Records in Brands of 40.
Were these birth records, birth and death records?
These were after.
What kind of records?
This was a forgery deliberately left by Mary Agnes through a male identity. She assumed, I'm quite sure this man didn't exist.
Assumed a male identity.
She did the same. They had multiple identities, and her male identity was Eli London Huggins.
Huggins again.
And this is where the Porter family comes in. So they created a forgery.
I guess they had to do this because they were small in number.
Well, they wanted everything. So one way that they took this, the Ernesto Amesti took that big piece of Corralitos. Well, there was a forgery on George Castro's death. So we talked about George on the last show.
Mm-hmm.
George was Rosemary's last son, born to her when she was still married to a Castro Moraga, living at the Castro Adobe, which overlooks Watsonville. It's one of the oldest adobes still here for us today. It was in private hands, donated back to the state, thank God, but they wanted it to fall into the earth. Because if they have to put the history back on that adobe, they have to tell the story of the Castros, and you don't hear very clearly that story here.
Mm-hmm.
So Rose Castro was 22 when she had little George, but their deaths were staged, you see. Rose went into a convent and George went into an orphanage. George was tortured and murdered by Alfred Hines. We talked about him
mm-hmm.
last time.
We did.
He was my grandma, Alicia, who's another Huggins boyfriend. Thank God, you see, we got some sperm in there because Hines was raping Alice since she was 10 years old. And Alice's grandfather is Tiburcio Vasquez, and he was a very dark Mexican Moor, and this is where
mm-hmm.
the black comes.
Uh-huh.
So the Jones, it's
Mexican
kind of,
Moor
yeah.
From
Southern Spain and North Africa, which was the famous, I can't remember, but it's Joseph. His name was Joseph that came in, and he was a ruler, Alfonso, 1292. Let's see if I can remember what he did in 1292. I'll have to remember later,
sure.
But we link him up all the way back in the book in Volume 2 with the peace treaties he was also signing with Theodore the Goth and the great Martin Luther that was pushing the Lutheran reforms that
mm-hmm.
the Hines family went completely against, you see. They were Puritans. The idea of enlightenment is that you can't
that
change
the Hines
with times.
Were Puritans.
Yeah, they call themselves breakaway Puritans from the Massachusetts Bay, tracing themselves
yes.
all the way back to Mary of Scarborough, See, it's very hard with forgeries because you don't know. There could be there is information, but at the same time, you can't trust the information.
Some of it is true.
Some of it could be true, and I'm not sure.
Yeah.
So this thing of Mary Scarborough of Maryland, I'm not sure. But
mm-hmm.
also John Sloan, I know that's a forgery, and it comes from
the pieces together here.
Johan's son. And they were Scandinavians, and they actually are colonizers in Piedmont to this day. See, they wanted to build colonies, and what they did with Santa Cruz is they made it very inaccessible. So they blew up the train that went under Lexington
and
Dam.
It was not. It was easily accessible
it was,
prior
and
to
yes,
that.
Yes, everybody was here. The Russians, the Vikings, the Spanish, the Northern Spanish. Unepero Serra.
And it is strange. You now have to go over Highway 17, even now. And then
it's so hard to get anywhere from
down.
Santa Cruz.
I know, on the coast. So they blew up the trains, did you say? That they
there was
railway?
There was a railway under Lexington Reservoir. There was a city there that's underwater. And so Alviso's underwater, Lexington's underwater. The Rodriguez Neris, the old recycled bricks of the original mission church, inverted 180 degrees. And underneath that building, just like the mission in San Juan Bautista, there are tunnels that lead to other locations. So,
oh, my.
This is how they disappeared children, you see. So I'm trying to tell you is that George Castro's death was used by Hines to make himself related to the Castros and take that land. So what he did is that there was this last pregnancy on the Rancho San Andres when the Castros were still in possession, and this was to Rosemary Castro. But the person who lived there, Rafaela Castro, was the wife of the governor, and she hid during the census under the name Maria Rita Pinto. Rita Pinto. That's Pinto Lake in Watsonville. It's named after her.
It is.
So what happened is that last baby was named Rudolfo but they didn't know whose baby it was, so they made a mistake calling him Rufo Pinto. And his gravestone is in the cemetery in Monterey, the Catholic cemetery in Monterey, and so is Hines, and so is Elizabeth Hines. And Mary Agnes is a sister of Elizabeth Hines, but Elizabeth's father was Coleman Watson, which father was George Castro, because he got some sperm in. But Mary Agnes is where we get the name Mary Mangles, and her name is still on that mansion in Aptos Village.
You better not tell us where it is, because I can imagine there'd be a little pilgrimage to wherever.
Everybody can make a great pilgrimage to the Bayview. The people there are lovely.
Poor present owners, I'm sure.
And it was, the Bayview Hotel in Aptos Village. It's a 14-bedroom mansion built by the same family, the Castro Moragas, was heir to Rafaela Castro, who was killed by the Bango Boys in her own house up in Aptos Village, which Mary Agnes came to possess and who's hanging in the dining room. She was a redhead. Just a very strange one, a dark with red. I'm not sure about this, but that's where I think the Celt and the Basque seed came out.
And now how are you leading to explore that?
Well, we have gained entrance to the majority of the mansions. We do work with the people that have worked there the longest, which are usually the caretakers, the maids, the people cleaning and caring for the garden that have been there years and years. But the people have been lovely. The people have received me very well. What's interesting about the main piece of the Magnolia Rose and its dismembering and moving is that they brought all of what was in Capitola, which was maybe 100 bedrooms.
Wow.
They moved 14 bedrooms to Aptos Village. That's the Bayview. They moved it twice so that the forgery comes with the last move. They'll never tell you that it was in Capitola. And all the pictures that exist have been photoshopped by Thomas Sullivan himself. That's Grandpa Hines.
Photoshopped.
Photoshopped. Well, he's sophisticated. If you look at, there's a picture of them hanging at the Winchester Mansion, all 10 killers plus Mary. Mary's there. But if you look carefully, there's not 10, you see. There's an overlap in two of the Williamsons with two of the missing Heath. The Heath's mausoleum is in the Harvey West. If you go look, their plaques inside the mountain, there's some missing. The three missing, that's, they overlap with the two Williamsons and Mary.
Oh.
You see, Mary Huggins, Mary Spreckle's wife, was also a Heath, and she was also one of Hines' daughters. But her mother was Alice Sullivan. And Alice Sullivan's grandfather was Tiburcio Vasquez, and he was the mayor that was lynched on this date in 1876.
By the Bango Boys. You don't know specifically which ones are...
Yes, there were seven. And so the first one is John Peyton Williamson Sr. That's Hines himself. His two sons, Amos Williamson, which him and his brother, Charles Loyal Williamson, their names are dedicated on that main 1928 monument in downtown Santa Cruz at the head of Front Street. Go see their names. They're there. If you go inside the Harvey West Cemetery, John Williamson's, there's a great cemetery plot dedicated to them as colonizers on what parties they came. They're there. Mary's there, too, but Mary's really there. Mary has two plaques on her grave, and it says Mary Armory Case, and they made a joke of her all the way to her death because, you know how they like to call her Mary Winchester because she did gun running and all this? Well, in her death, they called her a case of armor. Mary Armor Case. But see, it was because the Williamsons were Ambrose, and so they tried to change like an Ambrose to an armory. And if you look at the plaque on downtown Santa Cruz,
they
changed it to Amos. They were gun runners. But it's because they weren't having a civil war up here. You see, the civil war was fought in the South and the North. But it wasn't fought in California. California had 30 more years of Castro running the government. And these infiltrators got started between 1863 by 1876. The governor was lynched. Governor Joe Castro.
It was after the Civil War, the Mexican-American War, and then they came up here and started to take over the land.
And he actually operated in the church. So he was
the
in...
The Congregational Church.
He was the first Congregational minister to Santa Cruz in 1873. He was the superintendent of Catholic schools to Mission Carmel in 1863. He already had access to start his rapes by 1837 of Carmen Pacheco. And this is where this forgery I have in my hand starts. And I have the eight children. Rufus Amesti Huggins. We have to say that's very sad to say what they're doing to the family name, but his death is recorded December 16th, 1862. And that is George Castro. And Grandpa Hines used the death of George Castro to link himself to Rafaela Castro through this last birth, not knowing really who the mother was, whether it was Rose or Fala. That's her nickname. And I found that tombstone in Monterey, and it says Rufo Pinto. So he's number six on the Hines line. And then we have Mary, which is Mary Agnes of our talk today, the heir of the Magnolia Rose. She came to own the Winchester. She came to be the first school teacher to the Rodriguez Neri Adobe. She's the mother of the Bechtels. She herself.
She did have children.
Yes. And she's the mother of Ada Bell Wells, which is the forgery on the Loudon Nelson that says Ada Bell was a black woman. I own the pictures of Ada Bell. She was dark, but she wasn't black. And Ada Bell, she was actually my Grandpa Lonergan's mother. So Ada Bell and her husband, Ernest Lenihan or Ladigan, or however they tried to say my name, I have to this day, Lonergan, which is not Irish, and they lied. They're buried in the Harvey West as She Wells. And Ada, Grandma Ada, is referenced in the Loudon Nelson Center as Ada Bell Wells, a black woman. You see, they got part of it right, but they got a lot of it wrong.
Yeah. And purposely.
Purposely. So it's very interesting. The last son, which is through the Amesti, Charles Loyal, which would have been Williamson Peyton, had Elizabeth Ray, which was baby. On my family tree, we call him Baby Roy. And it sounds like a boy, but it's a girl. And then Auntie Helen, who I met, and she married one of the Williamsons after their assassination. His name was... again, Kurt Nielsen, like the Loudon Nielsen, Curtis Cornelius' son.
Yeah.
And
creative.
She was a Wells. And then their third daughter was named Bernice Huggins, and she married a Porter. This is how it goes.
On and on. And there's more and more of this.
And there's so much more.
And I'm curious, what can you say about Junipero Serra?
Yeah, so we have to pay very careful attention to the politics in what was Spain, North and South Spain again. Mm-hmm. In the North, we have the Holy Roman Empire, you see, and these are Catholics. In the South, we have the Holy Muslim Caliphates of the Emirs of America and Califatos of California. And they were fighting to keep these treaties from exploiting complete Mexico. So the northern Catholics were looking for peace treaties with the southern Mexicans, you see. We're northern Mexicans up here in the north. So Mexico's huge. If you think about the Camino Real extending all the way into the Yucatan Peninsula and coming all the way up through New Mexico.
Always the north and south divide.
Another north
almost
and south divide.
Throughout the globe.
Yeah, so the north are Catholics. And Junipero said I was a spy. And he actually helps plant those forgeries that Monterey was...
A spy for northern Spain.
For the Austro-Hungarian, the Holy Roman Empire, which also... They have a lot of bad politics, huh? They've had a lot of bad politics. All the way. Yeah. Wow.
But you're digging in and exposing it beautifully.
Well, it's been a lot of fun.
So he came over here as an observer then.
He came as an observer and a spy, and he actually had dinner at the Castros, at the Castro Adobe. I don't remember where I found that, but I found it. I found it in some document somewhere.
You know so much of what really went on here, and you said that you may be having some lectures or classes on this history at the Bayview. Have you pursued that anymore?
You know what? We're going to get started. If anybody's interested, they can send me an email, and I posted on Santa Cruz Indie Media pictures of the mansion and like an announcement of the classes. So we're going to start
a lecture series.
You'll
have a ball doing it because you know this so
well. Oh, we'll have a blast. Mansion tours. We're going to have high tea at the mansion. So, and we'll start with the class of at least 15 so that I can walk you around the mansion. It's a 14-bedroom that was connected by a staircase of seashells down the Capitola Esplanade into a piece that's now the Red Room, which is a lounge and bar in Santa Cruz. That was a piece of the Magnolia Rose. Then you walk through that into the main dining halls, which have become Heinz Victorian Mansion, which is on Chestnut in downtown Santa Cruz.
Yeah.
That's an 11-bedroom, and they got just the main dining halls and piano bars. But the main piece is called the McLaughlin Mansion. And that's also came into Mary.
Westcliff.
That's on Westcliff. And Mary Agnes came into possession of that, and her children are hanging on what would have been the fourth floor. Because now you see the bottom floor is missing.
So you would feel the haunting.
So what's up with the haunting?
The spirits. Every place you mention is known to
carry something.
Yes.
And it's famous. Something. I knew before. People told me. When I came to Santa Cruz, they said, have you seen that? That mansion on the hill with the suicide door, which is this upside-down cross that you can almost, if you walked out, you would surely die.
Yeah.
Well, my son's little girlfriend introduced me to that mansion as we were working, and surely it's a piece of the Magnolia Rose. The piece that they use as a carport has two bedrooms on top, and then the main mansion has nine bedrooms, and that's where the main dining rooms are, the main salas, the main ballrooms, the main silver room. It's the most beautiful mansion I've ever been in.
It must be, and yet energetically...
It's hurting.
Yes.
It's hurting. So the bottom floor is the laundry room there, and it's just full of junk and laundry, but it used to be the lobby of the Magnolia Rose when it stood in Capitola. And see, there was this little elevator that you could take a train.
What a desecration.
Well, because in Capitola, what did the Swansons put in its place was bathrooms, right? If you go to Capitola, you know where the bathrooms are?
The bathrooms at the beach.
At the beach?
Yes.
That's where the Magnolia Rose stood.
Oh, no.
Every single place, they moved the entrance to the exit, the exit to the entrance. So at the Rodriguez Neri, it's inverted. The Heinz Victorian is dismembered and inverted. The Magnolia Rose is inverted. And then they were placed in the city of Santa Cruz. So this is my thesis, and this is the main theme of the book, which makes it kind of hold together, is that the murders took place in the Magnolia Rose, April 22nd, 1876.
Mm-hmm.
The lynching of the governor, they took him from the Rispin Mansion. That used to be the White House here. They held him. There's underground tunnels. People know about this. I wasn't the one that figured it out. People told me.
It's new to me, though.
Well, there's two tunnels underneath the Rispin Mansion where they tortured him, and they used those during Prohibition for bootlegging. But there's two more tunnels that they haven't found yet, and I know that. Okay.
You know where they are?
No, but someday we will.
I want to be there when you discover them.
It's going to be fun. But actually, Alexandra Pacheco Castro, who we talked about before as the woman who infiltrated the Freemasons as a man, she fled for her life from Kraus Spreckels, and she hid money in that mansion as she fled for her life.
Oh, we have to go there.
She fled to a place down on the Rio Grande, which became the new north of Mexico, and the Burt Jones went after her. You see, he had the task of, you know, the bad Mexican, capturing the Joaquin Murrieta's. You see, this is where we get
the
legend.
That was the cover.
Mm-hmm. If you translate Joaquin Murrieta, and of course Joaquin was the name of the owner of 10,000 acres here. Murir is the word to die. Murrieta, you can say Joaquin Murrieta, he should die. And Arano, yeah, they took the name Moraga, which comes from Charlemagne, which was the guardian of God's flask, Guadalajara. They were very important monarch, children of monarchs that received these Spanish land grants. Moraga has become Arano. So at the Bayview, the builder is Joseph Arano. Now, this is also a curse, because if you put the M back on to Arano, it becomes Marano, and that means pig.
Oh.
And you see in the Moorish culture, that's a curse to the Muslims. They did. You see, Heinz, he was a member of the Freemasons. He knew old rituals. I'm not exactly, I don't know these things myself, these rituals. I don't know where they're documented, but each of the mansions and the murders were used to create a negative energy in Santa Cruz that's playing itself out, I think, in our children, in our youth, and what we have with the mental illness, lots of bipolar, lots of suicide,
and
lots of drug
addictions.
Abuse, lots of death. Santa Cruz, didn't we just have another drive-by shooting a week ago of a youth?
I wasn't here, but you're...
On the west side?
Oh, boy.
Yeah, so Santa Cruz has a history of being a beautiful facade, but underneath there's something not right.
Mm-hmm.
It's the whole inversion
and
of...
And I think people sense it, too. I don't know if they do. I can only speak for myself, but sometimes I sense something's a bit off, and...
I lived on the mountain. I lived on the Santa Cruz Mountain while I was working on my PhD for 4 years, and people kept saying, you know, it's a beautiful, it's paradise, and I
kept hearing too.
I couldn't understand what was the matter with that mountain, and there's a curse on that mountain because it is actually the ascension of the Holy Cross. It is the big, beautiful. We could be on Mount Zion for all we know.
I know.
And we have to get ready to understand how to respect the land we're on.
And I'm curious about that institution of higher learning.
Yeah, where the bell tower stood.
Why we never knew about it. And why were the buildings purposely inverted and then dismembered along with the residents inside of them, and then their pieces spread? Ugh.
So what happens is that what I'm coming to understand is that even the dead need their possessions. Like the Egyptians would bury their dead with their possessions, and they'd say they needed them in the afterlife. And for our culture, we don't understand that. But
this culture doesn't.
Doesn't understand it very easily.
Anglo-Saxon.
But, you know, they need their stuff to be in how it was. So what happens is that they wander through doors that have been moved and opened and disconnected, and to find the door that went there is causing them dilemma.
Yeah.
And each of these pieces have been strategically placed around downtown Santa Cruz in a perpendicular fashion. We should not be going perpendicular to the ocean. Most cities that are beachside go parallel to the beach, not perpendicular. So we have a perpendicular front street, and between the Mission and the McLaughlin Mansion, which was Mary's husband Samuel Prescott Bush's mansion, there's a little overlap between Klaus Spreckels and the Bush family here.
Do you want to say a little bit more about that?
Well, I'm still something I'm working on, and I'm looking for some evidence.
Next time you come on.
But I have two pictures of them.
I want to start with that.
Samuel Prescott Bush, I have a picture of him as Mary's husband. So we'll do that. We'll look into that next time. But basically, the dead are wandering their dismembered mansions, and they're very upset about it. That's the theme of the book.
And they have nowhere to go.
And you know, it's the recurring nightmares.
If you die in shock like that, where does the soul go? There's
the lynchings. Lightness. They were all strangled. Cookie Castro, Rafaela, Juan Jose,
the mayor. When you come back, I want to start with Spreckels and Bush.
Yeah, let's
do it. Get to the root of this.
Let's do it.
And much more. But it's 5:05. We're going to start Palestinian news. And
okay, cool.
Stick around here.
Thank you.
All right, that was Julia.
Lonergan.
Sorry about that mispronunciation.
No, it is really all mispronounced. It has four or five spellings.